Georgia's the new hotbed for musical talent, and the music industry knows it. Record executives are turning their eyes to the Peach State to discover the next big thing. On GPB's Peach Jam podcast, you'll hear those rising Georgia artists before anyone else. Listen and discover the sound of what's next on the Peach Jam podcast from Georgia Public Broadcasting.
Coming up in this episode...
darker now. And that's something I think people that deal with depression deal with. They're like, well, I didn't deserve the good times.
And so by reading this poem, you're in that feeling.
I too grew tired, my feet like lead, my lips wrapped around a revolver, my brain aching like a rotten tooth.
This podcast from Georgia Public Broadcasting highlights books with Georgia connections, hosted by two of your favorite public radio book nerds who also happen to be your hosts of All Things Considered on GPB. I'm Orlando Montoy.
And I'm Peter Biello. Thanks for joining us as we introduce you to authors, their writings, and the insights behind their stories, mixed with our own thoughts and ideas on just what gives these works the narrative edge. All right, Orlando, we're taking a break from prose this time, and we're going to talk about poetry.
I love poetry. So tell me what we're talking about, why choose a poet?
Okay, well, we're choosing Alan Caldwell this time. He is originally a short story writer, but his first collection of poetry, it's called The Only Verse, is out now. And it's just a wonderful book. And I chose it in part, not because I was looking for variety's sake, but because just it vibed with me. And because it's on the dark side, and I can kind of get down with some dark poetry from time to time.
We get dark. We can get dark from time to time, and we can get poetic from time to time. So, but how dark is it?
Well, it's not happy poetry, at least not purely happy poetry. He's talking about subjects having to do with depression, specifically the depression he has experienced. He's been a teacher. He lost some students to suicide. He's felt the grief that comes along with that. And of course, you know, he's gotten into arguments with his wife too. And that's, you know, been part of this and just the experience of growing up the way he did. So yeah, there are dark portions. It's not completely dark, but it's a predominant force in this book.
All right. Poetry. Good. Let's hear a little bit of it.
Yeah, well, first let's hear a little bit from Caldwell, because I wanted to jump into him early in this episode. We spoke when he came to GPB Studios. We talked for a long time about his poetry. Really great conversation, really fun. And we spoke a little bit about what he hopes readers take away from his collection.
I want them to read it, and I want them to say, I see myself in that. And I want them to say, it's okay, for darkness is okay, but that I can find some way through it. So, I mean, that's what I hope.
And when he says them, he's referring to his students. He's still connected to quite a few of his students on social media, more than 4,000, in fact, which should give you a sense of how long he's been teaching. And he wants his work to be relatable.
Well, is it relatable? Can we hear some of it?
Yeah, it is relatable. So here is Alan Caldwell reading one of his poems in the studio. It's called Running for No Reason. And it's one of the poems in the book that I think involves one of the best discussions about what it's like to live with depression. Here it is.
He sprints just ahead of me, gleeful heart and head, shuffling through the early yellow poplar leaves as fast as his preschool legs can take him. Catch me, Papa, he says. Pursued by no one, he runs for reasons I can't name. I can only dream of running for no reason, but I tell myself I could catch him if I had to. Maybe this fall I can. I can't speak for future falls and pursuits. Autumn here comes and goes and is more often hot than not. Maybe the poplars submit to drought or to the ever-shortening days, or maybe they simply tire from holding on so long. 12 years ago, this October, I too grew tired, my feet like lead, my lips wrapped around a revolver, my brain aching like a rotten tooth. I can't say with any certainty that I'll never be there again, not holding on to my leaves, not even wanting to. But this October, my feet are heavy, but not lead. My revolver is put away. My aches are dull and distant, and I dream of running for no reason.
So that's Alan Caldwell reading Running for No Reason.
Yeah, I like that. It's very image-based. You can see the leaves. You can see the fall. You can see him gripping his hand on the revolver. And it does have, you know, sort of a turn at the end. It doesn't doesn't completely go dark. So I like it.
Yeah, I loved how he used the trees and the leaves as a metaphor for what's going on inside him. And one thing you can't see on in this video or on the podcast is that, you know, in that poem, the introduction of the revolver is just on a separate line, and it kind of, when you get to that line, you're sort of not expecting it to get that dark that quickly. And I think the shift is really powerful. I mean, you mentioned the shift, right? It's there tonally, but it's also there visually on the page, which I thought was really cool. So he's using juxtaposition in the lines, and he's also using it in subject matter, which I think is really fascinating. And he does that fairly frequently. Like, there's this other poem in here called Juxtaposition, literally Juxtaposition, where he's out having a beautiful moment with his family, and then suddenly we're in this place where he feels like, whoa, this couldn't have happened. It's too nice. And it's a feeling that he says a lot of people who have had depression have this feeling, right? Like, this memory is too good. It could not have been real.
That's something I think a lot of depressed people do. And I've had people that have read my stuff and said, I understand that. Like, I feel like I don't deserve the good moments. Mm. And so that was what that juxtaposition was about. It's like, well, there was this beautiful moment. Did it really happen? I'm talking about, you know, something happened between me and my wife and being in a place and watching our son play. And I'm like, did that really happen? Because it seems really dark right now. And that's something I think people that deal with depression deal with. They're like, well, I didn't deserve the good times.
Well, he mentions his wife there. Does she figure in the book at all?
Yeah, she is a presence in this book. I mean, there's a poem called Curfew, which sort of celebrates their long relationship. I mean, he mentioned in conversation that they've been together since November 30th, 1985, which, like, awesome. Long marriage, wonderful. Please tell me your secrets, right? And apparently, like, if you read Curfew, we're not going to read it here, but, like, the secret to Curfew is just make sure you find some alone time with your wife. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Wink, wink.
Yeah,
you're gonna, like, say wink, wink.
Yeah, I'm going to have to. This is public radio. The poem is essentially being late for stuff because, you know,
well,
stuff's more important right now.
Let me say, that's really sweet.
Yeah, it is very sweet. It's nice. And, you know, like, how nice to have a spouse who writes that kind of stuff about you. That's really nice. So that's why I say, well, like, the book is dark, but it's not completely dark. You know, it has moments like that.
And you mentioned he was a teacher?
Yep. He's retired now.
And so now he's just focused on his writing.
Yeah, he's participating in this writers group. In fact, his wife asked him to consider joining this poetry group called Just Poetry, the writing group in Carrollton.
It's kind of like Fight Club. The first day of Just Poetry, you have to read a poem. And so I pulled up one of my short stories, which was called Insulated, and it had been published in the Palisades Review a year or so before. And I said, this is the closest thing I have to a poem. And I pulled it up on my phone and read it. She said, that is a poem. She said, let me show you how to make that a poem. And so Eleanor did that for me. And all the structure I do, because she really wanted me to slow down. And so all that dropping verse and dropping stanza that I do now is because she wanted me to slow down. And she died not long after that. And I ended up being I'm head of the poetry group now. So I sit in Eleanor's chair every time we have a poetry group meeting. And I feel like I can't let her down. So I wanted to break her up at this meeting because she was a legend. I would not have even thought of myself as a poet had it not been for her.
So he's referring to Eleanor Hoomes, H-O-O-M-E-S, who's another Georgia writer. So like he said, she died earlier this year.
All right. So we've got a nice little book here. Tell me about the narrative edge for you.
Well, for me, like, my tastes in poetry typically go towards stories, poems that are also stories in some way. They don't have to be super linear or completely obvious in the Billy Collins type of way. But I do like a story there. I'm not super interested in poetry that is, you know, just interested in sounds and, you know, literary
words,
illusions,
and images and that kind of thing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, there are some poems that are written for other poets. You know what I mean? Like, especially academic poets who are, you know, trying to translate their MFA into a teaching gig that will give them three classes a semester until they die. Like, that's not what this collection of poetry is. It takes small moments, which I really like, and brings out the feeling that is underneath that moment. Like, there's, for example, there's a poem here called Unmitigated, and it starts with the image of him walking with his wife, and his wife is walking a few steps faster than he is, and he realizes because he just said something that is really offensive or hurtful to her, and he's just living with the regret and just chastising himself for having said that. And so you, just by reading this poem, you're in that feeling. Like,
you know, that's happened to me.
It's happened to everybody. That's what makes it so relatable. And like, he just dwells in that feeling so well. You don't even have to know what he said, right? It doesn't really matter what he said. What matters is that this feeling exists. He's going to help you feel that feeling along with him. And in the process, maybe he feels less alone by writing it. You feel less alone by reading it. And that's really the wonderful thing about poetry. It can leave you feeling something that you otherwise wouldn't feel. And that's a wonderful thing. So that's what I have to say to recommend The Only Verse.
All right. The Only Verse by Alan Caldwell, our latest book. Thank you for sharing it with me.
Happy to.
Sources and methods, the crown jewels of the intelligence community. Shorthand for how do we know what's real? Who told us? If you have those answers, you're on the inside, and NPR wants to bring you there. From the Pentagon to the State Department to spy agencies, listen to understand what's really happening and what it means for you. Sources and Methods, the new national security podcast from NPR.